Alexa, who is Adam Ferrara?
Adam Ferrara is an American actor and comedian known for playing the roles of Chief Needles Nelson on Rescue Me, Sergeant Frank Fiorelli opposite Edie Falco on Nurse Jackie. He was a co-host on the U.S. version of Top Gear. He has had 3 Comedy Central specials and his new album is called It's Scary In Here. Adam's new podcast is a big hit and available everywhere.
Sounds like it could be funny.
Sounds to me like 30 minutes you'll never get back.
Thank you for coming back. Now it is showtime, and we have a great show for you this week. My guest in the ADD interview is actor, comedian, you know him from The Daily Show. It is Roy Wood Jr. And we want to welcome everyone from our Talk to Me Tuesday family. That's our conversation we have every week, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Go to my website, click the link, and join us. And our superfan shout-out is for Donna. Say hi to Donna, everybody.
Hello, Donna.
Hey, Donna. Oh, Donna.
Donna sent us a great message on Facebook about the Billy Gibbons episode. She goes, you have to watch the documentary on Netflix, which I already did. So
you did?
Yeah, it was really good. How?
What do you like, go in the corner of the house and watch them? Because I didn't see you watching it.
No, I was on the road. Yeah, it's right there on the road. Mm-hmm. And Roy Wood Jr. is our guest, and he is a very, very funny man. And I got to play for Fox, Dogs Playing Poker in football. And that's where that's where I met Roy.
It was great.
That was funny to see how they drew you guys.
Yeah?
I'm like, that kind of looks like Adam.
Thank you.
Yeah, it did.
I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Thank you. But he's a really interesting guy. He's funny. He's smart. And he started in radio. One of the things he did was prank phone calls, which are always funny. I don't do prank phone calls, you know, to everybody. I just do them for Phil.
He's the chosen one.
Yeah.
And he's not lying.
No, I'm not.
He's not lying. Is the truth and nothing but.
Yeah, because you call people and, you know, you make a prank phone call. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're not. Every time I do something to Phil, it's always funny. I always laugh. I don't care if anybody else hears it. It makes me laugh.
Yeah, but your prank phone calls are like involved and planned out. It's like an elaborate orchestration. You know, it's not like a spontaneous thing.
I'll be honest with you. Actually, my prank phone calls most of the time are retaliation.
Oh.
So it's my fault.
Retaliation.
Yes.
It's instigation. Wrong word.
Nope. Retaliation. I'll give you an example. I found one where Phil released his DVD and he didn't want me to have it. So,
so now, you must
really?
Be punished.
Yeah. Here's the quick setup of that.
And I'm still hurt that you won't send me your DVD.
Because I'm all fat.
Okay. Sometimes we don't look our best, I understand.
Okay, so it wasn't like he didn't really want you to have it. He just was a little embarrassed.
Okay, so, but basically, he didn't want me to have
it.
You know,
because I knew what you would do with it.
What?
You do things. I'm not giving you any. I'm not giving you more fodder. You do things. Anything I give you, you do things with it. You take images, and you always catch my mouth open. You can't have any of that.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah, no, you have enough photos of me to play with.
Okay, well, here's the thing. So I hinted to Phil that I can kind of maybe finagle the DVD, but Phil thought that he had that all figured out.
It's not like you can go on my website and just buy one because I'm the one that sends it.
To Lillian Presto.
Shut up. Lillian Presto. What a name.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
It's
done. Are you Lillian Presto, you fuck? Are you Lillian Presto?
It's starting to sink in.
Is that you, you fuck?
Oh, Miss Lillian.
Miss Lillian.
You're Miss Lillian? I thought she was a genuine fan.
Genuine.
She is.
She's not of you. It's you.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. He had no idea.
Oh, my. Wow. You know what? Thank God.
Yeah, just
God
making
you're
up
good,
a
Adam.
Fan.
Thank God you use these powers for good.
Yes. We'll tell Phil because he doesn't think it's good. I think it's good. Well,
I just, what a disturbing phrase. I went on his website as Miss Lillian. That phrase alone.
So Phil sends it to me, and then he gets outraged. Listen to this.
I've been sitting on that for almost a year.
See what I mean?
You got my DVD for a year, you fuck? Who does that kind of shit?
Adam.
And pretends to be somebody, then a year.
can't process it.
Oh, my God, you're so duplicitous. How did I not see that coming?
That's the question.
Yeah, it's always the question.
I mean, I'm sorry, the name Lillian Presto.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Come sorry, on. It sounds like a woman who would, you know, it's
Presto.
It sounds like a name.
Yeah. Yeah, Lillian Presto. And don't think that name was kind of not lost on Phil. As he processes it, listen.
You're Lillian Presto? What kind of name is that? Where'd you come up with that?
I made it up.
Lillian Presto. I thought she was a genuine fan.
A genuine.
Well.
The Lillian part of me loves you.
Fuck you. You're Miss Lillian. It's like I just found out you're Batman. You're Batman?
Yeah, honey.
I was going to say, would you have like a room, a planning room? You have all these maps and things are on shelves. Okay, that will come up in 2 months. That will
like a vision board.
He's got a library and some guy named Alfred comes in and lets him know that I'm ready. You know?
Ferrara, yes, he's ready to go. And then he walks into the room, he tips the head, the books open up, and he slides down the pole.
That's hilarious.
He gets all outraged and stuff, right? So then he's like, a year later? Who does that kind of shit? So it's when he's outraged like that, you know, that you have to just keep it moving. So then I hit him with this.
You bought my DVD. You actually paid for the joke.
Not only did I buy it, I told you it was damaged, and you sent me another one.
Oh, what a dick.
You ripped me off! You commit fraud, and you ripped me off. These are the friends I have.
You commit fraud.
You see, now I'm getting upset again. That's why I need to revisit the shit. I revisit it. You know, I need to go to a therapist not to revisit my childhood, but to revisit the shit you do to me.
It's true. It's true.
Listen, that's what comes out. Not my mother. You!
Well, I will. I give me this credit. When Phil gets upset, I actually do try and calm him down. Listen to this, because he was upset in the phone call.
I gotta go to bed now.
Hey, why?
I'm gonna toss and turn all night now.
All right, pal. Look, I'm sorry. I this has gone far enough, man. I'm really not Miss Lillian.
Dude, I'm not swallowing any more of your gullible medicine.
Okay, but I'm telling you, I'm not Miss Lillian.
You're a liar. You lied.
Okay, I just don't want you to think that I am Miss Lillian Presto. I was just fucking with you.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't have your DVD.
I never know what to believe. You don't know what to believe with you, this guy.
With this guy.
This guy.
Welcome back. From New York, please welcome Phil
Tag
Leaf, turn
that off, you fuck!
You
got my DVD, you fuck!
That's
hinging on cruel. It's disgusting, turn it off! I don't want to hear that, the bonus features, I was 9, turn it off!
I was 9.
You want to know
what's what he does?
I still do that bit. That's what's pathetic.
Oh, is that funny?
I mean, that really is going above and beyond. I mean, it's a brilliant bit, but oh, Phil, I'm just worried that like there's going to be a genuine opportunity coming Phil's way and he's going to think it's you and he's going to tell the person to go F off. Like, get out of here. I know it's you, Ferrara. I don't want this clearinghouse publisher's check. I know it's all a scam, Ferrara.
This is what
I didn't win the lottery.
This is what I picture with Adam.
Right.
Tighten the nut, loosen the nut. Tighten the nut, loosen the nut.
That's yeah. what he does.
Well, Phil, I just want you to know Miss Lillian loves you.
Oh, fuck you. You're now just here and now for the record. Mm-hmm. It's never been cleared up now. Are you Miss Lillian or not?
Phil, I am not Miss Lillian.
Okay, don't believe a word he says.
Don't believe him, Phil.
I am
come
not
on.
I'm her sister, Esther. Esther Presto.
Esther Presto.
Esther Presto.
I think I dated her for a while.
Esther Presto. Sounds like a female magician.
Yes. Esther Presto. See, honey, my prank phone calls are a response, okay? Mm-hmm. It was a response to Phil.
So it's needed.
It's a you know what? I'm glad you recognized that this was needed. Thank you, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Roy Wood Jr. made prank phone calls when he was on the radio when he first started. I found one, and it's really, really funny, and I play it in this interview, and he's a really interesting guy. I like him a great deal. You guys listen to this, and we will see you on the other side.
I told you he'd come.
Wait! You could die. At least tell me your name.
It's not who I am underneath, but what I do, it defines me.
You're Batman?
You're listening to the Adam Ferrara Podcast. This is 30 minutes you'll never get back. Y'all know these episodes are longer than 30 minutes, right? Right?
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Pay attention when I'm talking to you, boy.
ADHD, it's not just for kids.
Nice boy, but doesn't listen to a word you say.
Welcome to the ADD interview. It's not that you're not interesting, it's just that I can't focus. And my guest this week is...
Oh, look, a bird!
My guest this week makes me laugh hard and think deep. He's an actor, comedian, writer, producer. He's a correspondent for The Daily Show on Comedy Central. He was also the host of This Is Not Happening, also on Comedy Central. His new podcast is called Roy's Job Fair. It is hysterical and informative. I enjoyed playing poker with him as a dog, and his mom would support him even if he was a porn star. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's my pal, Roy Wood Jr. How are you, my friend?
I joke, but I truly believe that my mother would support me if I was a porn star. She wouldn't tell any of her friends.
Right.
But she would for sure ask me, how's work going? And when are you going to be a supervisor?
When are you going to be a supervisor?
She's civil rights era. And, you know, right. They only know like success as in you have to be leading people. You have right. to be in charge. It's not enough to just be on set. You got to be in charge.
And, you got to be directed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, baby, it's been 6 years. Why are you still? Baby, shouldn't you be directing? Have your own company?
Oh, that's fun. Well, I got that quote when you took your mother to your first gig, when you did on Comedy Central.
Yes.
That was so sweet, funny, moving. I mean, all the elements that I love in a storyteller. And she asked your mom, well, how come, you know, your mom asked you, how come you didn't invite me? She's like, because you were tripping. You were like, I didn't want to be bothered.
It never fails. Mm-hmm. It never fails. Like, she will complain and complain. Like, mm-hmm. So when I wanted to be an astronaut, she tried to send me to space camp in Huntsville. We were in Birmingham.
Right.
When I wanted to be a firefighter, she tried to talk me into being a fire inspector. Mm. And she was pushing me to take more chemistry. Mm. That was part of when I was fuck firefighting, because when I saw the amount of chemistry you have to take, and to take chemistry, you have to know trig and algebra and all the other, you know, equation-based mathematics. Mm. And I'm not a fan math ain't my thing. I've never liked it. I've never enjoyed it.
Mm.
I successfully dodged it in college.
Mm.
And I'm proud of that. You know, I'm proud that I never took physics and I brag about it.
Object stays in motion till another. I don't care. How's that?
That's all I know. I know why fire burns,
mm-hmm.
and I know why baseballs curve.
Right.
I don't need to know shit else about physics. I'm perfectly content with that. But yeah, she's always been supportive in trying to supplement whatever my interest is.
Mm-hmm.
She finds the next level to supplement and maximize it with. I think that's why comedy fucked with her, because she didn't really know how to
help.
Correct. But then she figured out, I can just boost the ratings of whatever you're on by telling my friends to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got on BET's Comic View, which was, you could say that was my first credit. I did Showtime at the Apollo,
mm-hmm.
but you know, that's not the same as, hey mom, next Thursday at 9 PM.
Yeah.
I'm on TV.
Yeah.
And she would have watch parties every year that I was on Comic View. Those first 3 years, those were my first three real bona fide TV credits.
Mm-hmm.
My mom would have she would have fucking 15 people over to a 2-bedroom.
Yeah.
And they would just fucking watch Comic View.
Yeah.
And then watch Video Soul,
mm-hmm.
and fucking drink and laugh. And then when I did Last Comic Standing the third time in 2010,
mm-hmm.
my mom had watch parties at a local bar. And everybody stopped to call to vote for me. And
that's great.
She found, I wasn't living in Birmingham at this point,
mm-hmm.
but she found a fucking local bar, mm-hmm. and found motherfuckers. And the bar was like, cool, we're with it. Rogue Tavern. I'm not even sure if they survived COVID or not. I should give them a quick Google and see.
Right.
But my mom went down to the Rogue Tavern in downtown Birmingham, and they had a Last Comic Standing watch party, and it would be, you know, 100, 150 motherfuckers watching stand-up comedy in a bar.
Yeah.
You know, but so my point is, yes, she would totally support my porn career.
Yeah. What I got from that was, when your mother didn't want you to go into comedy, what she said was, all right, how can I do this and not be bothered? Because she wants me to get good grades. All right, I'll get good grades. And you went and you made the dean's list the next year.
So what it was this. I'd gotten arrested the year before, and mm-hmm. that's how I got into stand-up. So I was 19, was still in clothes from Dillard's. Shout out to Tallahassee Mall. And
you're going to do time for Dillard's shit?
They were nice jeans.
All right.
This is fucking Hilfiger, 98.
Okay.
This is quality shit. This is peak Hilfiger.
All right.
I wasn't still in fucking Dockers and Bugle Boys. I was still in quality fucking thread tier to look fresh for women. That's that's why I went to jail.
Okay.
Everybody else I know is selling fake IDs. They're fucking running weed. People with legit hustles. I really would like this Chaps half zip pullover. I think I'll just leave the store with it. Freeze, police. So I'm on probation, and I'm back in school at this point, and I'm doing comedy. My mother's also a 30-year educator. My father was an educator. Between the two of them, they have 5 degrees. You're not going to convince motherfucker with 3 degrees. Hey, this college, this journalism shit is cute, but I'm going to just ride the Greyhound and tell jokes in Paducah, Kentucky, if that's all right with you.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was like, no. And I'm like, okay, but you know you really can't stop me from doing whatever the fuck I want to do, because you're in Birmingham and I'm in Florida, so you right. can't fucking stop me. And so that's kind of where the back and forth about get your grades, and you need to be getting your grades. The only thing you need to be worried about is graduating.
Mm-hmm.
Da, 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 da. And I'm not going to say I knew then mm-hmm. that my career was good. All I fucking knew, bro, was that comedy made me happy. I
yeah.
enjoyed doing it. And it was the only thing that I found since baseball,
mm-hmm.
which I wasn't playing anymore because I sucked at the college level.
Mm-hmm.
It was the only thing since baseball that really gave me peace.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to go do that. I have no friends now because once you get arrested, you lose all your friends. I just said, look, if I make good grades, then can we just not talk about me doing comedy anymore? And she was like, fine.
Right.
And so fucking Dean's List out the gate that semester.
Boom.
And that was the last time she ever spoke in any objections. I know my mom was always nervous. I know that, you know, I get it because, you know, she went to college and we are defined by the linear education trajectory. Mm-hmm. So our choices are defined by whether or not we maintain that trajectory. And anytime you deviate from it, then it's, huh, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the uncertainty of that. That's not what the plan is.
And you want the best for your child. And sure. Your child comes to you and goes, hey, I think at this point I've graduated. So my mom buys me a car because mm-hmm. she found out that I was sleeping in the bus station. She didn't even know how I was getting to the gigs. One right. of those snitch ass students went back and told her.
Who ratted you out?
I saw your son. To this day, I don't know.
Oh.
But one of my mom, for the last, at that time, she had just started at a local 4-year college mm-hmm. in Birmingham. And one of her students is baggage handler at the bus station. Went back, Dr. Wood, I saw your son sleeping in the bus station. And of course she calls me. She goes, where are you? And I go, I am in Tallahassee. I am not at no bus station. Why would I be at? That person is lying.
You're going to believe them over your own son?
Oh yeah, I played that shit hard, bro. Played that shit hard. And so she basically, you know, she just went and got me a car, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like my mom went and just, she made the down payment on it was the first model year of the Ford. It was a 2000 Ford Focus, maybe a 2001. Mm-hmm. And she straight up just said, just, you got to make the payments.
Right.
And that opened up so many more gigs. It sure. actually made going to class easier because I wasn't missing Monday. Like I could spread my classes out more because the year before I condensed my classes so that I could still make the bus on Friday morning
mm-hmm.
and Monday morning. So I was taking Monday night classes. Then I was taking 15 credit hours Tuesday through Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking a week's worth of classes in 3 days. It's not the most advantageous way,
mm-hmm.
you know, to go about things. But, you know, it worked. It yeah. worked for the most part.
You did what you had to do. And it's the hustler's mentality that I really respond to. Just, okay, what do I got to do? I got to get good grades. Boom. Apply myself. Do the good grades. What do I got to do? I got to do this. You got a radio gig because the thinking was the radio gig is going to put you into different markets and you could swap out with other people who have radio gigs.
Yeah, I was right and wrong about it.
Mm-hmm.
At the time in 2000, so I graduated 2001, I moved back to Birmingham.
Mm.
And now I have to move back in with my mom.
Right.
And I go to her and I go, look, I had two job offers. Here's the other thing where I fucked up in school was that because I did stand up every summer, I never did an internship. So I graduated with a degree in journalism with mm-hmm. no real experience in journalism other than the campus paper, which most publications don't respect.
Right.
Like the campus paper is to prepare you for the internship. But coming out with not even an internship, I had two job offers. They were both 14K.
Mm-hmm.
I did the math. And at this point, I was emceeing, featuring a little bit, and then I was working day labor on off days between cities. And I figured out how to cobble money together. And I go to my mom, I go, yo, by my estimates, I should clear 17 this year.
Mm-hmm.
If I clear more money every year than I did the year before, I get another year to live in your house. Up to 3 years.
Good.
3 years and I'm gone. I was gone in two. And that, like, once I had a plan and she saw me driving and hustling and executing. And so radio, that was also part of what kind of helped me seal the deal. So I started doing mornings. Well, I started interning at the morning show in Birmingham at 95.7 Jams. And so Ricky Smiley, who is to this day you know, the king of the city, especially when, if we're talking entertainment and we're talking about, you know, the 1.0 OG, the concept of stardom,
yeah,
of being from here and being a star on television, to me, it started with Ricky Smiley.
Mm.
And so that's who I listened to going to high school every day. And so you see him on cable, and he was the fucking man.
Yeah. I watch him on Birmingham. The Dish.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, Dish Nation.
Yeah.
So he leaves his seat at Jams to go to Dallas to start the shit that he's now doing on Dish.
Right.
So I have to replace Ricky Smiley on the morning show. So the first year of radio is rough because everybody hates me.
Yeah, everybody hates you. Yeah.
You're not Ricky. That's radio. No one likes the new person until one day they love you, and then they hate when you're gone, and they hate the person that replaces you.
It's the same thing. Yeah, it's the same thing. Top Gear, they hated us when we came into Top Gear. You guys suck. Year three, you ain't so bad. Year four, we love you. And then year five, you know, well, new guys come in.
Why'd you fucking leave? Yeah. You shouldn't have fucking left the show, bro. So I start doing mornings. I'm doing prank phone calls, and we're never using the pranks more than one time. You know, we're burning them. You know, we do them once and then never use them again.
Right.
So I started reaching out to radio stations in markets where I wasn't getting booked in an effort to get content on the air in those markets. So I could then backdoor to the comedy club and go, yo, you should fuck with me. So-and-so plays me in the morning or the afternoon, or whatever the shift was. And that helped me grow my comedy. But what I really thought radio would do for me was what it did for Ricky Smiley and make him just fucking blow up to the stratosphere.
Right.
When the truth of the matter was, radio comedy, for what my style of stand-up is two different disciplines.
Yeah.
It's two different. It's like the only thing I can compare it to, it's like, it's street ball versus proper basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's radio and it's a pickup game. And, you know,
yeah.
And but the comedy you do at the level you do it, and why I put in the intro, you make me laugh hard and think deep. That's the pros, baby. That's some pro shit.
And there's no time for that shit when you're just discussing this rapper hates this rapper. Like, there's no time.
Yeah.
But there's no time at all.
But the shit's funny. I pulled one of the calls that made me laugh. I want to play this for you right now.
I know, baby. Just we get some help, baby, for you. We get some help for you, baby. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, good morning, please. Good morning. This is John in Houston. How soon can y'all, baby? Just hold on, baby. Baby, how soon can y'all have somebody out here to the house?
To do what?
Well, my girlfriend, her arm is stuck in the toilet. Her arm is
stuck.
Yeah, it's inside the toilet, baby. Baby, just hold.
Okay. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Her arm inside the toilet, like her arm, she's like elbow deep inside the toilet.
Okay, you should call 911.
Well, no, ma'am, we can't do that because, see, the police was coming over to another dude's house and we thought they was coming over here to bust us and we flushed the dope down the toilet. So now we down in the... We down there trying to get the dope out the toilet. So we called them police. You know, it's going to be all kind of other things transpiring.
Okay, I think you should call 911.
Well, no, baby, we ain't trying to get in trouble about this now. We're just trying to get the dope back. Now, just tell your plumber we'll split it with him 60-40.
I can't do that, sir.
Baby, please. Now, we'll give you an extra $4.
No, you need to whatever, call 911.
Whatever the visitation fee is. Whatever the visitation fee. Can you hear that?
Okay.
Oh, Lord, we done lost the dope, baby. Hey.
Oh, bully!
Oh, no!
Hands in the air right now! Get your hands in the air!
We'll call you back. We'll call you back.
How much fun is that? Look, we'll give you your voice drops. We'll give you the $4. Like, it's a thing.
Bro, the shit we used to get away with on 95.7 Jams in Birmingham, I am still astounded to this day.
Yeah.
To this day. And that's a prank. Like, something that crazy and that urgent is usually because it's 10 minutes before the prank needs to air.
Right.
So from a comedy strategy standpoint, I don't need this person to argue with me. That's going to take too long to edit.
Right.
I just need you to be an observer of chaos.
Yeah.
And, you know, acoustical, just you stay on the phone while I act crazy and you just react to
it. Yeah.
Like, that's probably, you know, I don't know. I guess there is some comedic style stuff that I learned from radio. Right. But
well, storytelling, you learn. I could see the storytelling in the social commentary and the point of view. I mean, one of the things you did in one of your specials, the line that I love was, you want to open up your mind. I'm paraphrasing. Go to a protest that doesn't concern you at all. And you'll see what other people struggle with.
Yeah. It's like this weird pain tourism thing. And I have to credit The Daily Show with that, because I'll be honest, you know, I never showed up to any of that other shit until I got up with The Daily Show.
Right.
I had to be there to cover it. And then I'm like, oh, wow, this is such a different thing to immerse yourself in and understand how connected we all are in this world. Because, like, honestly, the default is always to care about yourself.
Yeah.
And your people and what you're going through. But, you know, that whole bit was a true story. I really did go to a Muslim band protest, and it really did end on time. It was the oddest shit I've ever. They said we're protesting from 5 to 8. And then at 8 o'clock, we will disperse, and then we will come back at another, like, the level of just studiousness about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying I literally, when I go to black protests, there's no ending. It's, we're here. We want to be heard, and we want more people here. And it's like, it's just, when you go to something that never ends, versus something where, oh no, we're headed home. We're going to go grab some food, and then we're going to be back out here tomorrow to let them know we still mean business. But, you know, I got to take a nap, bro.
Gotta recharge. The funniest thing in that bit was, man, if you go to a protest that's not about you, you can leave anytime.
Yes. You can just leave.
Yeah. The thing I love about your stuff is it's fall down funny, but it does have that social conscience, and the delivery, the storytelling delivery is like, you'll set the picture up, and you'll sit in a setup 40 seconds, a minute, you'll sit in that. And then when the right cross comes, the punchline comes, it's worth the wait. I got a bit here I pulled that just makes me laugh.
I believe in ghosts because I heard my father's ghost getting ready for work for 3 weeks after he died. It's not even bullshit. I'm 16. My father died on a Monday morning. And for the next 2-3 weeks, I could hear distinctly downstairs. I could hear my father. I could hear his morning routine. Every morning I heard the shit. Hear the shower curtain push back, shower curtain come forward, shower curtain push back, heard the water run, heard the walk across the linoleum, heard the fridge open, heard the coffee maker, heard him back door, back porch, to the car, garage door up, car out, garage door down, car drive off. 2 weeks straight, I hear my father's morning routine. I let the shit roll for 2 weeks. I go to my mom, I go, yo, what the fuck? Are you not hearing it? Casually walking through the house. And she's like, no, I ain't hearing no shit like that. You want to go to a therapist? I'm like, no, I don't need to go to no therapist. I'm just concerned that apparently after you die, you still got to go to work. How bad is this economy?
Boom. You're there for that setup is a minute, Roy. You're sitting there in a minute painting that picture, and it's worth the punchline. Now, to have the stones to sit in that setup, everything's coming together. The message, the social conscience, your point of view, and the delivery. And it's, and when you see it all comes together, it's a pleasure to watch and listen to.
I appreciate that, brother.
Can I ask you?
Ask me anything.
Jack Leary told me to ask you the ventriloquist story.
Oh, the ventriloquist. Okay. So when you're a road comic, sometimes they make you drive the headliner. As the opening act, you're essentially the chauffeur for the headliner who has a DUI or he's a known drunk doesn't have a car or he flew in from another city. So to save money, he's making you drive him. So every day you drive with a headliner. More often than not, it's fine. It's 3 to 5 hours in the car with a new person. You talk the biz, you talk life. And it's for my father to have died at 16, it was a cool way for me to get time with men as a 19, 20 year old.
Sure.
You know, so it was that part of it I appreciated.
And you're talking to men that are in the business you want to be in, that are a little further on up the road.
Further up the road. So I'm getting to pick your brain and see what your process is and all of that shit. The one advantage I feel like road comics have over New York and LA guys is that every week we get a sneak preview of what could be your career or what you don't want your career to be.
Yeah.
So for the most part, these are pretty chill interactions between the opener and the headliner. So I get assigned to open for a ventriloquist and we're doing like a four-day run through Wisconsin.
Okay.
And it's every city but Milwaukee or Madison.
Okay.
So you take those two cities off the table, you know it's just rural shit. Like we maybe got Appleton. I don't think we got Green Bay. I picked him from the airport in Chicago, and he's got the dummy in the case or whatever. And I pick him up at baggage claim, and as he's coming to the car, he's talking to the case.
Okay.
I'm like, no, be quiet. Just be quiet. He's a nice guy. Like, it's that type of shit.
Wait a minute. Right? He's talking to the case, and he hears the case talking back.
He's doing both voices.
Uh-huh. Or you assume he's doing both voices. He could be hearing one.
Keep in mind, at this point in my career, I've only seen ventriloquism live one time before this.
Okay.
I've only seen it one time live before this. It was a dude, Mark Ruban, who actually was very, very solid motherfucker. He gave me my first feature gig. He had a one-nighter in Georgia. So to meet normal ventriloquist and then open for wacky ventriloquist who's talking to the case, that shit was just new to me. So the shit's weird, bro. But I'm...
Okay.
But I can't judge him because I'm the opener. He could fire me at any minute.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to just act like this shit is great.
Okay.
Motherfucker pops the dummy out the case, puts him in the back seat, puts a seatbelt on him, gets in my 2000 Ford Focus that my mama paid for. Like the shit is cool. And you know how you're in a moment that you've never been in before professionally. So you don't know if this is how things go.
Yeah.
So you don't want to act weird.
Yeah. You don't want to give them anything to judge you on. So I'll just be quiet and see how this plays out.
So in my head, the rationale in my head is, okay, this must be what ventriloquists do. Ventriloquists are really into this shit. So Roy, if that's what he's into, just be polite.
Yeah.
And da, da, da.
Did he introduce you like, this is Lester?
Yeah, he did all that shit.
Right. Okay.
And so we get in the car, and now I think the first gig is, it was either Racine or Fond du Lac, but we're on the other side of, you know, I-94. And so we head out of Chicago. It's normal conversation, you know, pretty random conversation. And we get up past Milwaukee, and then he turns to me and goes, so you're not going to ask him any questions? This is day one of four cities in 4 days.
Okay. What'd you do?
And this motherfucker is asking me, why won't I talk to the dummy? And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
What do I ask him? He just goes, just ask him anything. Make small talk. So in my head, again, I'm thinking, all right, Roy, maybe this is how he warms up for the show. And maybe this is part of his writing exercise. Maybe that's what he does. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. Hey, dummy, what?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What sports do you like? I'm just.
Yeah, you're reaching.
Sports and food is my default. Everybody has either a favorite sport or athlete or a favorite food.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He names a sport. Then I go, what's your favorite food? And then the dummy goes, I don't eat, motherfucker. I'm a dummy. Now I'm offended. Because you're fucking playing with me. Like it's but I don't want to get fired.
I understand.
I need these fucking $75, bro.
I hear you.
$75 a show.
And this is when they paid you right out of the cash register, so.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So we do the show in Fond du Lac. Everything's fine. Take him back to the hotel. Shit is sweet. Next day, get up. We load up the car and we're headed up past Green Bay. It's like right on the edge of Green Bay in the UP, Harris, Michigan.
Okay.
So we go Fond du Lac. Next day is Harris, Michigan. We head up to Harris, Michigan, and we stop at a restaurant, Perkins or Bob Evans. So we get out. I get out the car. He gets out the car. He closes the door. I lock the door. He goes to the back door, tries to open the door to let the dummies sitting up, seatbelt on again.
Okay.
He goes, hey, man, can you unlock the door? He's coming in with us. And, like, I really think this is why I don't really like eating with comedians I don't already know.
Why?
Because I don't want to be in any extended, awkward situations with you.
Yeah.
Motherfucker opens the door, brings the dummy into the fucking Bob Evans. Fucking Bob Evans lady comes up. All right, party for two. And he's offended. Ventriloquist is offended. It's three. It's clearly three. Okay. Okay. Waitress comes to the table. He asks for three waters.
Stop it.
He asks for three menus. And I got to sit here and ask because I need the $75. I can't for 1 minute make him think that I think he's weird.
I get it. Yeah. You got to facilitate his reality. Please tell me the dummy picked up the water and drank it.
You wish. Only Jeff Dunham can pull that off. So the waitress comes over and, like, the dummy is talking to the waitress.
Okay.
Asking about specials and shit. The waitress is looking at me. Right. Like, and I'm like, ma'am, I don't fucking know. Like, I look like a hostage, bro.
I was going to say, are you okay?
So 20-year-old kid, 40-year-old man, and a fucking dummy.
At Perkins.
At a fucking Bob Evans Perkins ass spot in the middle of Wisconsin on a fucking Friday morning. And she comes and takes our order, and then he has the dummy say, ma'am, I'm not hungry.
Okay. He goes through all three. All this shit. Okay.
Goes through all of that, doesn't order anything.
I would have brought him a plate of termites.
Bro, that's fucking hilarious. Fucking bed bugs. Like, it was so damn awkward. And by the fourth night, he gets a little drunk and we're talking after the show. Like, you know, once you survive the week.
Yeah, yeah.
After that, we're doing dive bars and hotel lounges. So it's the bar is right there after the show. We're fucking pounding shots, and the guy finally opens up, and, you know, that's part of my process, and I just want to thank you for not being weird about it, because, you know, in order to be a good ventriloquist, you must have a real relationship with your doll, and the relationship must be as secondhand as ordering coffee for each other, and I go, okay, that's cool. Right. He goes, well, thank you for understanding. Because my wife, she doesn't.
And
this guy.
And it's on.
This guy goes into a 45-minute ramble about his divorce and how she was taking everything. And he refuses to, like, she was going to take whatever the shop is where he makes the dolls. Like, she was going to take some of his, like, so turns out. This guy was just fucking spiraling and really going through some shit that week. And that doll really was his friend and his sanity.
Yeah.
And his. I'm not saying he don't need to see a therapist, but I'm so glad I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Because it's clear he just needed to just be himself. Yeah.
This has to happen for me this weekend because it's the only thing I got to hold on to.
But it's still weird when you don't explain that to a 20-year-old MC.
Okay, wait a minute. He didn't know he was going through this shit. He's just been going through shit. I'll be honest with you. You're a kind man. You need the $75. I get it. But I would have said, look, Geppetto, I know why she left you. All right? It ain't your wife's fault.
Bro.
Well, I tell you what. In your intro, when I wrote it, I said, you make me laugh hard. You make me think deep. And the podcast reflects your personality. And I'm a big fan, and I'm very glad that we're friends. My brother, keep doing what you're doing.
My man, I will see you out on the road. And maybe one day we can drive up to Fond du Lac and have a meal at that Perkins.
I'll bring the dummy. Good, brother. Best to you and the family.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
The ADD interview is brought to you by CruiseIntoWellness.com. CruiseIntoWellness.com for all your CBD needs. They have edibles, tinctures, pain creams, bath products, pet products, and my wife likes the new hand cream, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right. You know what else she'd like? She likes the fact that she gets 20% off with the coupon code ADAM. 20% off with the coupon code ADAM at anything they have at CruiseIntoWellness.com. Go! Feel better.
Hey, I'm Roy Wood Jr., and that's 30 minutes I'll never get back.
Oh, I really like Roy. He makes me laugh a lot. And how funny was the prank phone call? Tell the guy we'll split the dope 60-40.
Funny. That's funny.
And then he goes like this. Maybe we'll pay the $4. Like there's a visitation fee.
I kind of wish there was a service where I could hire him to do prank calls for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, who would you prank?
Like, I don't know, your ex-boss.
Mm-hmm.
Just get a little added.
You know what I would recommend?
Huh?
Call Phil. It's hysterical. It's a lot of fun.
I love those radio bits. That takes me back to when I was doing a morning show. Mm-hmm. And because I'm the guy with all the weird voices in my head, I inevitably would be like, here, Stern, you call up, you know, the cruise ship line and book, you know, like you're complaining about your cabin or something like that.
Don't say so, that. Phil thinks he's on there for 6 months. He thinks it's real.
That was you. It's not real.
Yeah. Hi, hello.
Wait a minute.
I need a room.
I moved.
I'm quarantined in this cabin for no reason.
The great thing about those is that there's no script.
Yeah.
And there's no real planning. It's like, all right, hey, you know what? Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, go in the other room, make the call, and let's just do it. And so you're just like, it's always on the balls of your feet. And I love that sort of working without a net thing. It was always a lot of fun. That was probably the most fun I had on the morning show, doing those kind of stuff.
How funny was him telling that story about the ventriloquist?
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
So I was talking to Jack Leary, and he's the one that told me to ask him that story, and I'm so glad he did. He was trapped with this guy in the dummy.
Yeah, in the outskirts of Wisconsin on the road for, what, 5 days?
Yeah.
Going to, like, oh, my God. Just rest around the fact that he insisted that the waitress give the dummy a menu only to say he's not hungry.
Yeah. just to reel him in. Look, I knew Otto and George. Otto and George is like a famous ventriloquist in New York, and he was offensive, and he would perform in the park. Mm-hmm. Right, so he would perform outside. So some guy, he said something racial out in the park one day, and some guy stabbed the puppet.
Oh my God.
That's hilarious. I mean,
yeah.
Retrospect.
He pissed him off so much, he's stabbing it. And Otto's, he's got the knife in his hand, he's running with George. This guy stabbed the puppet.
I guarantee you he took George to the emergency room.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of made sense, what he said at the end.
What?
That he needed to go through this exercise to become a better...
Yeah, you didn't, like you said, you never know what's going on in some guy's head. Like, his wife left him. He's like, I needed to hold on to this, and you didn't say anything. And, you know, this guy's thinking Roy's a good guy. He's like, look, I needed the $75.
Exactly. He's weighing out.
Yeah, dude, my mouth was wide open the entire... Obviously, you and I work with, like, a bunch of ventriloquists from time to time, and they're all like that. They all, like, that. You know, to them... You know, it's their alter ego, and Otto was no different. And as a matter of fact, you know, I've never mentioned Otto alone. Anytime I mention Otto, it's always Otto and George.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you do. You know what I mean? If I told other comics, hey, I was hanging out with Otto, they'd be like, Otto who?
Yeah.
Otto and George. Oh, Otto and George. Even we do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's, you know, you're absolutely right. I think when Otto would buy Coke, he'd have to buy some for George, too.
He would. No, dude, I'm serious, man. They are. I mean, but I've never heard, like, when Roy was telling that story, that was like taking the puppet into the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane, man. Because I was working with Otto and George one night at Dangerfield, and I gave him a joke or whatever that George went up and did. It was a Mets joke. Somebody pitched a no hitter or Yankees or something. It was a Yankees joke. And he goes up and he kills with it. He comes off, he goes, you can have that joke. And I go, but it killed. He said, yeah, he actually said this to me. He goes, yeah, but George is a Mets fan.
Oh, my God.
So he's not going to do the joke.
That's hilarious.
So he's not going to do the joke because it's the Yankees. George, I go, oh, George is a Mets fan. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know he was a Mets fan. He's a fucking chair. What are you talking about?
Chair. He's a chair with a hat.
Oh, my God. He's a chair with a hat. Oh yeah, dude. But he was dead serious. He was, nah, George doesn't like the Yankees. Okay, whatever, man.
I was in a car with Richie Minervini, Vince D'Antona, and George, another George, right? And we're driving up to some gig in upstate New York. And so Vince was a ventriloquist, right? And Vince is talking to Richie. I'm sleeping in the back of the car. Well, I'm drifting into that sleep. So I hear the conversation, and I hear Richie's voice, and I hear Vince's voice. And every once in a while, I hear George's voice.
Creepy.
Yeah. And it's Vince doing George's, joining the conversation. The puppet's in the trunk. He's not even there.
Mm-hmm.
But Vince is using.
Do they say that's asleep?
What?
Do they say that's asleep?
I didn't say. I did not want to upset or alarm him. I just wanted to get to the gig, and I was only making $50. So Roy was way ahead of me being nice to a ventriloquist for cash.
You know, I'm getting my memory from when I was a kid and I had a Barbie.
Right.
That, because, oh, she's going to go to sleep.
Right.
She's,
yeah, but I think the word in that was when you were a kid. This was a grown-ass man.
I know.
Yeah, like when he says to Roy at the very beginning of the trip, did you not want to say something to the dummy or whatever the dummy's name was? You're like, oh, that's where we're at. Okay, yeah, sure, let me engage.
Yeah, aren't you going to ask him any questions? I'm sorry, was I being rude?
Yeah, man.
That story was so funny, but I felt for him. I just so felt for him. He couldn't say anything because he needed the money.
Yeah.
You know? I couldn't say that. I'm on a plane. And it was one of those planes where, you know, where the back of your seat is the other guy's TV.
Oh, I hate that.
Okay. So the back of my seat is the other guy's TV, and he's playing a game, like he's playing Sudoku. So he's poking the back of the seat. New York to L.A., and Captain Math Major is poking the back of the friggin' seat.
Oh, man.
I could just see you vibrating.
I was like, it happened twice, and I went, oh, I'm not. And I turned around and said, excuse me, can I just ask you maybe not to? I didn't get the sentence out. Hey, are you the guy from Top Gear? I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, wow. I can't say anything.
Now you're representing.
Yeah,
now
yes, I am, Pokey.
Yeah, thanks, Pokey. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Phil, you've been in a position where you can't say anything, specifically at one of my big family dinners, if I remember correct.
Okay. Which one was it, Adam? There's been a plethora of family dinners where I've been in a position where I can't say anything.
So I'd fly back to New York and I'd call everybody. I said, come on, we're all going out to dinner. You know, cousins, we'd all go out to that, take everybody out to dinner. So Phil's in town one day, right? I said, come on, we're going to this Italian restaurant. We're all going to go out to dinner. And my family's big. You know, so there's big table of people and Phil's sitting next to me and I have an aunt who's a little bit older that Phil was sitting next to. And she had a couple of drinks in her and she tried to pick Phil up.
She was crushing on Phil.
So she was crushing on Phil and I was leaning over. He's sitting, you could see that he's got the smile pasted on his face. He's laughing at the jokes.
And inside my head, mind you, I'm going, please don't let Adam know this. Please don't let Adam know this.
So I look over, right? And she turns to talk to somebody else. And I bring him, so I look over, I whisper to Phil, I go, what do you think, man? It's like, he's like, what? I go, you know, what do you think? So why don't you guys want to go on after this? You want me to leave you the car? He's like, well, no. What? Like, come on. She'll tell you all about Truman. Go ahead. Go
on. Here's $100. Go get yourself a room. Have some fun. Come on.
He's fuming. He can't say anything because people look at it. He's got gritted. Marky's got gritted teeth. He's like, it's not funny.
Yeah. He's a gentleman.
I'm trapped. There's nothing I can do. And you're a snowball. It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
I go, Phil, do me a favor. Just whisper something nice in her good ear. Come on, Phil.
Oh, man.
Oh, he's fuming, and she's getting drunker.
Yeah. And hittier.
Yeah, and she's like, now there's like a hand on the knee.
Oh, you know what? You're sweet. You're, you know, I have a girlfriend. Okay. What are you saying in that situation? Yeah. I'm making shit up. Yeah, I'm gay.
Is it serious, Phil? Yeah. Is it serious?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, will you stop it? He's making it worse. You know? Then I get up to go to the bathroom. I come back. I don't know what he said to her. But now it's worse.
Yeah. Yeah, he got up and goes to the bathroom.
No. Now she thinks I'm in. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding. What are you doing? You're playing with this. You're playing with a human being.
The more Phil pushes you away, that's his way of telling you he wants you. Yeah. So, yes, keep it up.
He likes you, but he's shy.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I'm just saying, you can't get too handsy. He likes it.
Seeing a nice woman named Lillian Presto. I just can't really go there right now.
I was going to say, don't you realize who did the seat arrangement, Phil?
No, 100%. Premeditated, Phil.
Probably
that was not an accident.
Aunt was in on it.
Yeah.
Hello?
In fact, he told his aunt to get there early so we could have a couple of cocktails with her before the dinner.
Goodness.
The whole dinner was planned around me. It was all planned around me.
Come on, Adam. Tell me the truth. Did you and your aunt have a good laugh?
No, she was serious.
She still wants me.
She was. He gets in the car. He's so mad. She's following him out.
Yeah.
Bad Adam.
She follows
bad
me to the
Adam.
Salad bar. Oh, my God. And here's the kicker, man. Adam gives her my phone number. Why would you do that? Oh, my God. So every once in a while, she gets a couple of sherries in her. You know, Phil. Oh, my God. Yeah. And I'm a nice guy. I'm nice. And I'm going to talk to her for a while. An hour on the phone with her.
Drunk dial.
Just to try to get off. I want to be nice to her. I don't want to let her. I don't want to feed her feelings.
I haven't been on a cruise since Bert died. What ship are you on?
For legal reasons, I really can't disclose the name of the ship.
Oh, that was a stalker. Got it.
I'll tell you this. So that phone call you get every couple of months, which one's better, that or the Lillian Presto call? You can tell me.
They're both good, but none of them top the arm in the toilet story. That was great.
Yeah, yes. That was pretty good.
That was really funny. He's a very, very funny man. I highly recommend you follow him on social media. Roy Wood Jr., I want to thank you for being my guest. Honey, if they want to get a hold of us, where do they go?
TheAdamFerrara@gmail.com.
And thank you guys so much. The show is growing. It's all because of you. So if you get a chance to leave us a review, that helps us with our friend,
Mr. Algorithm.
Tell someone you love about the show. That'll help us spread the word. And please remember, life is hard. Take it easy on yourself. Pod is ended. Go in peace.
Who does that kind of shit and pretends to be somebody? And then a year later, you drop the bomb. A year later?
He can't process it.
How did I not see that coming?
I was wondering the same thing, you idiot.